Aloha and ta'alofa to you. Welcome to the Ohana podcast. My name is Lima and I am your host. I hope you are having a great day. If not, I want to encourage you to hang in there. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank all of our supporters for supporting the Scattered Abroad Network and also the Memphis School of Preaching. The title of our lesson today, or the podcast today, is The Evangelist. The Evangelist. Our goal this year, or our theme this year in the Ohana podcast, is growing our family. Growing our family. And when you talk about the evangelist, that has everything to do about growing our family, or the person who is the evangelist in the congregation. He is a key component to the work of evangelism. Not everyone can be an evangelist. That's the first thing we need to understand. Everyone can be evangelistic and share their own abilities and contribute to the work of winning souls to Christ, but not everyone can be an evangelist. As a matter of fact, I believe there's a reason why this is somewhat of an office, as we see in the scriptures. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, right? Go there with me. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, beginning. This is about Jesus and what Jesus gave to the church. And the Bible says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I want us to pause there for a moment, right? Pause there for a moment, right? Notice in verse 11, this list of spiritual leaders, or a list of distinguished individuals who serve one purpose. They all serve one purpose, right? In the church that we read about in the scriptures, there were the apostles, and the apostles were anointed with the Holy Spirit. The apostles had the miraculous abilities to confirm the word of God. Mark chapter 16, 15 through the end of the chapter, you can read about that. Or also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the miracles that the apostles were able to perform serve the purpose of confirming the gospel, the message that they preach. And so some in the church were apostles. Now, not all were apostles. A few men were apostles. After the day of Pentecost, we know that there were a total of 13 apostles. The 12 at Pentecost, after they replaced the office of Judas, and then the apostle Paul, who was added on at a latter time. And you read about that in Acts chapter 9 and onward. And so the apostles were special. They were different from everyone else. But they serve God's purpose. Same thing is true of the prophets. Same thing is true of the evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now notice they all served a purpose. Verse 12, the purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So I want us to hone in on that, right? Notice that the scripture says that the apostles and prophets and evangelists and elders and teachers, their goal is to equip the church, right? For the equipping of the saints, right? Not every member in the congregation can do equipping, right? Understand that. Not every member in the congregation is able to teach and to train others to know how to do certain things in service to God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 comes to mind. You know, when Paul said to Timothy that the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, right? And so in that passage, we can see faithful men are able to teach others also, right? You don't want to put someone who is not faithful to teach others, because the example is not there. The lifestyle is not there. The doctrine may be right, but the way they apply the doctrine is not there. And so we understand that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and verse 12, that these are distinguished persons, if you will, who are given and part of the church, given by Jesus or appointed by Jesus for the purpose of equipping all of the church so all of the church can do the work of the church. Now, that's important for us to understand, because the way some churches operate is that only the higher person or the staff member or the people who are in leadership, they are the ones who focus on the work of the church. Everyone else will be a pew sitter from Wednesday and Sunday, or on Wednesday and on Sunday. And everyone just sort of like just go to church just to be there. And all they do is worship, right? That's not equipping the saints. These individuals were given to equip the saints. Now let's talk about the evangelist, right? The evangelist in all, it's pretty straightforward. What do we think the evangelist is equipping the church to do? All right. If you are the evangelist, you are the one who should equip the church to be evangelistic, or to equip the church to do the work of evangelism. And I want to talk about the Memphis School of Preaching, because that's where I went to school to learn Bible. I'm going to encourage you, if you want to learn Bible, if you want to study the Word of God and the Word of God alone and all the subjects that are connected to, you know, to God and the Word, I want to encourage you, go to the Memphis School of Preaching. I am so thankful for the 2 years that I spent there. Those 2 years grounded me as a man of God, as an evangelist. I went to the Memphis School of Preaching because my mission was to be an evangelist. I wanted to share Christ with others. I wanted to better equip myself, mainly to talk to my own family about God. Because I remember how I went about doing it at a very early stage of becoming a Christian. When I was a babe in Christ, I was so passionate. After learning the truth, I was so passionate. I wanted to tell my family. But the way I went about telling my family was not good. There was no tactfulness in it. There was no knowledge of the scriptures in it. I just took what I just learned, and it was so little that I learned, and the passion that I had, the fire that I had in me, I took that fire and I burned bridges with it, right? And so it convicted me, and it motivated me, and it encouraged me to enter into ministry. And so when I went to the Memphis School of Preaching, that was my mission. I went there because I want to learn Bible, because not only do I want to be a preacher, to work in local work, my main thing was I want to be an evangelist. And if you're the evangelist of your congregation, and in case you did not know, if you're wondering if you are the evangelist, I'm talking to you, preacher. I'm talking to you. There isn't anyone, and you know, generally speaking, right? I don't want to overgeneralize things, but generally speaking, the person most equipped to win souls to Christ should be the preacher. Should be the preacher. And I want to encourage you, as the evangelist at your congregation, you should be leading the way when it comes to winning souls. The evangelist is a key component to the work of the church in evangelism. Right? And I want to encourage preacher, and if you're a student at MSOP, I want to encourage you, when you come out, do some soul winning. Right? And I don't want to knock the other important things in ministry, right? There are other important things, but I am noticing, and I hope this is changing. I am noticing in my time, and I don't have enough time to offer advice. I don't think so. But I've been preaching since 2017 after graduating the Memphis School of Preaching. Not counting the 2 years I've preached while in school. But I've noticed that in my time as the minister here at the Honolulu Church of Christ, I noticed that trend. But there are a lot of preachers that are not winning souls. And I tell you, you know, the gospel meetings are important. Don't get me wrong. Everyone has their ability. But I am truly convinced the scripture is teaching us, preachers, that evangelism should be part of what we do as servants of God. If you go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, I mean, 2 Timothy 4, sorry, 2 Timothy 4, and you know, I want to start with verse 1. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1. I love verse 2 because that is the motto of the school of preaching, of Memphis School of Preaching. And this is what Paul, an older evangelist, now you know Paul was a soul winner. Even at the face of persecution, he preached the gospel of Christ. In 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "And I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, understand this about us preachers. We have this charge, the charge to preach the word." And when Paul says here to preach the word, and when Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they did not mean just in the pulpit on Sundays and Wednesdays. Preachers, we should be leading the church as an example in evangelizing and reaching lost souls. When God says, preach the word through the penmanship of Paul, evangelism is part of this. You're talking about winning souls. Listen to this, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and absorb with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Preachers, as evangelists, this is something we must understand. There are already false teachers trying to win souls to their false teaching. But what are we doing? What are you doing? Are you just prepping for Sunday and for Wednesday? Do you have a Bible study with a lost soul? I want to encourage you. You have that responsibility from the Word of God. You have that responsibility. And if you don't believe that, notice verse 5 as preachers. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. And then it's interesting what follows there, right? What follows after he says, do the work of an evangelist. He says, fulfill your ministry. In other words, serve God. Now, I'm convinced you cannot fulfill your ministry without being an evangelist. You need to be an evangelist. Now, you talk about someone who was an evangelist, the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I want to hone in on that phrase or the concept of being already being poured out. You want to ask this of Paul. Paul, what do you mean? What do you mean by being poured out? Right? The idea that comes to mind when you listen to that phraseology is that this is something who gave him, or this is someone, sorry, not something. This is someone who gave himself fully into his ministry. When he wanted to win souls in Corinth, he worked with his hands. And then he evangelized. He went to the synagogue, preached the gospel there. And when those at the synagogue, the Jews at the synagogue, considered themselves unworthy of the gospel of salvation, he turned to the Gentiles. And this was Paul's thing. Everywhere he went, he was evangelizing. One of my favorite events in the second missionary journey was when Paul arrived into Athens. Here's something about an evangelist who will serve the Lord. He is mindful of souls, mindful of souls. If you think about what Paul did there in Acts 17, if you go there with me in Acts 17 in your Bible, this is what, you know, what happened when Paul arrived into Athens. Notice this. The Bible says, now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews there. Now, that's the wrong passage here. Skip down with me. That's him arriving to Thessalonica, and he preached the gospel there too. And there was a riot caused by the Jews who went into the marketplace. So verse 16. We'll pick up by reading there, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, the Bible says this, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. An evangelist, any evangelist who would go through where Paul went would feel the same thing that Paul felt. Any of us, when we look in at our world and when we consider the souls that are given to idol worship, in our modern world, like there are no statues and temples and whatnot in some of the places, but we certainly see the love of money, the love of self. We certainly see idolatry in a different form. Same sin, different packaging, right? And what we see here is the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, his spirit was stirred with him. And preacher, I would encourage you, go to your Walmart or just go park outside a Kroger, right? I'm mentioning stores that I know that are in the mainland, but whatever area, there's always a Walmart everywhere, I imagine. But my point is, go to a public place and just sit there. Go to the park and just sit there and watch people. See if your soul is not stirred within you, that you're looking at people that potentially all of them, that you're looking at them, all of them are going to hell. And then you must understand that you being there is a form of God's grace as the one to extend the invitation of God to them. This was Paul, whenever the evangelist, whenever he went to a certain place, he went to where the people were. His spirit was stirred within us. You know what's happening, and I don't like this a lot. I hate to see this. Our spirit are stirred by social media posts. Sometimes we're busy trying to win arguments and not winning souls. As the evangelist for your congregation, you have to think souls. You have to understand that as the preacher of the congregation or the minister of the congregation, you have to fulfill your ministry. And the way you do that is by serving the Lord, by preaching the gospel, not just on Sunday and Wednesday or during lectureships from pulpits. I mean, be in people's homes. Invite them to your home. Stay up late in the office. Be poured out into your ministry. A little bit about myself, in the past couple of weeks. As I'm recording this past couple of weeks, I'm studying with 10 souls. Praise God. One of those souls obeyed the gospel on Monday, this past Monday. And that was Monday morning. And then Monday night, I mean, Wednesday morning, sorry. I have studies on Monday. I have a morning study on Monday. And then a night study on Monday. And these are personal Bible studies with people because I know I'm better equipped because of Memphis School of Preaching. I know that I'm better equipped to share the gospel to the lost. I have that ability and I will use it for the Lord. And you talk about being poured out back to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Paul says, I'm already being poured out. You got to understand there has to be some sacrifice on your part of the as the evangelist. You got to make time for people. That means no time for you. Sometimes, some days, and your family will understand that you're doing the work of the Lord. You have to pour out yourself in your ministry. You have to make sacrifices. Whenever I schedule a Bible study with people, I tell them, what time is convenient for you? I tell them that because I know that I can switch my schedule around. I know that this couple or this family, they cannot just switch their schedule around. They have regular hours of work. All right. Preacher, you don't have regular hours of work. You're an evangelist. All right. You do the 80 hours a week and beyond, and you do it for the Lord because you can. And every now and then, remember to take a rest, to remember to balance out your family time, your work time, and your personal Bible study time. And you can do it. To be poured out in your ministry, to be mindful of souls, understanding that you are capable of doing this, and you're generally the one in the congregation to lead by example. You don't want to be the preacher that always preaches about evangelism and never does any evangelizing. You cannot equip the church if you're not leading them as an example in soul winning. And so, like right now, I now have 9 souls that I'm studying with. And you talk about tools for an evangelism today. You got to know the technology today. We got to understand that there's Zoom, right? I love Zoom. It's one of my useful tools in my ministry is Zoom, because through Zoom I can have Bible study with someone at a different time zone. That's another thing about evangelists. It doesn't matter where or who. If you are a soul winner, you just win souls. It doesn't matter if they're local or across the other side of the world. If you can figure out a way to win that soul, you will figure out a way to win that soul. God always makes a way. And one of those things is Zoom. So currently for me, I have two Zoom Bible studies that are ongoing with two couples. Right? But that's something I wanted to emphasize for us who consider ourselves the pulpit minister or the preacher or the evangelist. You got to understand, if we're going to equip the church in the work of evangelism, and we'll talk more about that in our podcast, we as the preacher need to be the leading example of, of winning souls to Christ. Consider again the mission that he has given to us, and to understand that this is your commander in chief that is telling you, you have this responsibility. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You have to ask yourself, are you actively making disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things and that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's our calling. That's our mission. And we need to do the work of an evangelist. One of those evangelists that we read about in the Bible is Philip. All right, Philip. If you go with me to Acts chapter 8, we read Philip. What is he doing? Philip is winning souls. I want us to look at the Ethiopian eunuch. All right. Here's an opportunity that was created. Right? The Holy Spirit was leading Philip in this opportunity in Acts 8 and verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Let me pause right there. Preacher or evangelist or Christians. Christians, if you go to the public places, right, if you go to a restaurant, if you go to a library, if you go to a hospital, places where people gather, I could almost guarantee you will find someone reading the Bible. And let me tell you, that is one of those contacts that you can approach. Someone is reading the book, and you know about the book. You understand how to rightly divide the book. You know the in and outs of that book because you've been trained by faithful men. If there's anyone in that instance near that person reading the Bible at the mall, in the coffee shop, at the hospital, if there's anyone near that person that can possibly lead that soul to Jesus, it is you. It's you. You're there. If you see them reading the book, go up and sit next to them. Go up and have a conversation with them. Talk about Jesus. All right. Well, this eunuch was sitting on the chariot. He was reading. Now, very likely he had a scroll. We have Bibles nowadays. Or maybe someone's just staring at their phone and maybe you might walk up to them and say, "Hey, what you reading?" But learning how to create context, that's something an evangelist must do. to be aware of the environment. I always say I live and breathe evangelism. Everything I try to do, I think about souls, whether it's a Facebook post, whether it's a fishing video, whether it's out in the public and doing whatever, I'm shopping, I'm driving, I always have souls on my mind. And that's what evangelists do. You hold the door for someone. You say, you smile at someone. You do an act of kindness towards someone. You just be a Christian towards someone. You create opportunities. He was reading, the eunuch was reading the scriptures. And Philip went up to, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? What a powerful question from an evangelist. You think you can ask that question of someone sitting and reading the Bible? You certainly can. There are other questions that go along the same line. What are you reading? Oh, I'm just reading John 3:16. Oh, that's a great passage. What are your thoughts about that context? Right? It just so happened at John 3:16. If you start from the beginning of the chapter, you could talk to them about how one enters into the kingdom of heaven. That if one is not born again, they cannot enter. All right. You have to have questions ready to ask people. You look at Jesus and the questions that he posed. Open questions, leading questions, closed questions, pointed questions. You got to know which questions to ask at which time. What a powerful question. Do you understand what you are reading? And you just might get the person that is like the eunuch. Sometimes, and I've done this, sometimes I would ask a person, hey, do you understand the Bible? And they'll say, oh, yeah, I know the Bible. I read the Bible over and over, from beginning to the end, twice. That's a regular response that I get. But what if you get the response from the eunuch? You understand what you are reading? Honestly, I just reading the Bible because I'm going through a hard time in life. I don't really understand the Bible, but I know it's a great book and I know that I need to read it. What did he just reveal to you? What did this person just say to you? He just said to you, please, preacher, help me understand the Bible. And you're right there. That's how you create contacts. You got to be aware of your surrounding when you're out and about in the public. In our congregation, we have so many contacts and we've had so many baptisms because we have people to study the Bible with. And our number one place where we create these contacts is in our worship service when the church is gathered on Sunday. I tell you, I have seen evangelistic evangelism, sorry, I've seen evangelism in our congregation. Right? A congregational approach. You think about what Rob Whitaker is doing, going from church to church, school to school, teaching the house to house and heart to heart school of evangelism. If your congregation is dying, if your congregation is in need, you as a preacher, if you need a boost to get back and doing the work of winning souls, I encourage you to bring Rob Whitaker and that school to your congregation. I want to close with this story. We recently baptized this past Wednesday. We baptized a young man named Isaac. Isaac found us through Google search. He just searched Christian church. And it just so happened the Honolulu Church of Christ is like the top three answers. I forget what the other two, but every now and then we're number one, number two, or number three. And this young man was searching and wanting to know God because he was going through a difficult time in his life. When Isaac visited us for the first time, two beautiful sisters in Christ greeted him at the door, gave him a lei, smiled at him, welcomed him, and encouraged him. And he came in and he sat down. And then one of them came to me and said, "Nima, you should meet this young man. This is his first time with us. This is so important for you as an evangelist, for the congregation, for a church that is equipped to do the work of evangelism. This is powerful. Some of our members are great greeters. Some of our members can do things in the background that can contribute to the work of greeting people. Take, for example, you can make a welcome bag. Our congregation, we give a welcome bag and we give leis. And then we give the spirit of aloha, a beautiful smile, and make people feel welcome. After the morning service, this has to be your goal as the preacher, right? Your goal, I know and I understand, is to shake everybody's hand. I get it, right? But sometimes my brethren understand that if I don't shake their hand on Sunday, I'll shake it another time. They know that if I'm not there at the door, I'm talking to a new soul who just walked into our building. When they walk through the church building, evangelists understand they're already interested. They already want a Bible study. They just don't know it yet, but you have to know that. You have to go up to them. You have to invite them to a meal. You have to do the work of an evangelism. You have to schedule a Bible study at a time that is convenient for them, not for you. You make the necessary sacrifice because you know this is for winning a soul to Christ, and it is for the glory of God. Here's another thing we can learn from Philip. The eunuch said, how can I know unless someone guides me? If you're just a church member and maybe you're at the point in your faith, you're not able to guide someone. Continue to learn and grow. This is the point where you get the evangelist involved. If it's your family member, if it's your friend, if it's you got to trust your preacher. You have to, and you have to trust that he will do whatever is necessary to help win this soul to Jesus. You have to think that way. Don't ever say, "Well, my preacher is too busy for evangelism." If he's too busy for that, he's too busy for the wrong things. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" And Philip, the evangelist, opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, this is so important. When we are evangelizing, the scriptures have the power, not the stories that we have to tell people. Understand that. The scriptures have the power to win souls. So when we get them to study the scriptures, study the scriptures. Let the word of God work on their heart. And you preach the word to them. You preach Jesus to them until you can't. Right? I always in my studies, I when you go through a Bible study and you've done it many times, you will know when the study is going as it should, or if the person is no longer interested. Now, if they are no longer interested, or let's say you go through back to the Bible and finish, excuse me, and finish back to the Bible, and they don't obey the gospel, you need to keep working on that soul. Never give up on anyone. Pray for them, encourage them, continue to follow up with them, check on them. Sometimes you might have to review some scriptures with them again. But who better in the entire church to review scriptures with a lost soul than the evangelist? Now, again, I want to encourage you, my brothers who are evangelists, and even sisters in Christ that are very great soul winner. I know one of my sisters in Christ. Her name is Renee. She has been proven to be a soul winner. She would study with women, and she would teach them Bible, and they have obeyed the gospel through her work. All glory to God. And so, if you're an evangelist, understand that the scriptures have the power to win souls. Preachers, I want to encourage you. You need to have studies with people. You need to have studies with people. If you don't have a Bible study, just one, I want to say one, just try it, right? If you haven't had a Bible study, try to get one in the month. If you don't have one Bible study, I'm going to ask you to review your ministry. I'm going to ask you to look at what Paul and what he did when he went around preaching the gospel. Look at the evangelist Philip. Look at the Christians in the first century and what they did. They win souls. If you have not helped someone come to Christ, I want to encourage you, read again 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, all the way up to the point where Paul says, fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. It starts with us preachers. If I'm not going to lead my congregation as an example of a soul winner, they will not follow. Don't be the preacher that only preaches about soul winning and never do soul winning. Don't just be a herald of the truth and a hearer of the truth, but a doer of the work. Be a doer of the word of God. To all the evangelists out there, if you're listening, God bless you, brother. God bless you. I thank you for preaching the word of God. I encourage you to be a soul winner for Christ, to fulfill your ministry. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. More to this understanding evangelism from the word of God as we continue this year. God bless you and take care.